Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We are broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 18, 2017. But we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the Holy City. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. Okay, yeah, in an emergency, my cell phone number, well, I guess I'll give that out. I don't mind. 316-619-4886. Now that's for an emergency. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, all this on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. I'll never do it. Let's thank our listener base. Place like Rome, Italy. In fact, I have maybe a surprise from Italy later this month. Anyway, Istanbul, Turkey, Taiwan, Auckland, New Zealand, Poland, and, of course, cities in the old United States, such as Kansas City, Missouri, Houston, Texas, Indianapolis, Indiana, New York, and Omaha, Nebraska. And these are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio program, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, we pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, and give us all ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in Yeshua's name. Amen. Checking to see what's up there. Okay, well, I know we're working now. Sorry, folks, we did get a new sound card for this computer. As you know, that we've been trying to do that, and it may be a little raw or out of adjustment, so I apologize to you folks for that. Anyway, Steve Henderson has served the last 30 years as pastor, evangelist, equipper in the ministry. In the last 7 years, Steve has been called in the era of teaching prophecy. His ministry to share the word of prophecy has a mission to help believers to understand the truth of Bible prophecy. Even it's an outreach even to the unbelievers to give them away, give them evidence to provide them with the truth so they can come to a saving faith in Yeshua. So let's just get to Steve now. Steve, are you there with us?
Hey, Shalom, Pastor Dan. Thanks for the invitation to be back on.
Well, I'm so glad to have you in. I'm going to make a couple of small apologies to you. One, for my voice, I'm still trying to get completely done with the flu. And we put a new sound card into our computer, and you never can tell until you start broadcasting if it's right or not. So it may be a little bit out of adjustment. In fact, you know what my director, Frank, told me? He said, let Steve do most of the talking. He can get good at it.
I don't know if that's much of a compliment or not. They say a man with a few words is a wise man, right?
Something like that. I don't know. I'll take anything I can get right now. But anyway, how's your new year going?
Oh, you know, I've been blessed beyond measure. I can't count my blessings. I've, I don't know what to do with all of them. How about you?
We have really had one. I think this is going to be a really good year. I've seen some increase started to in December, but then we didn't, you know, between a storm and being sick and the heat broke down, and we had everything in the world the devil could throw at us. In fact, the mission church had been down for over a week because the heat went off over there. And come to find out, I just found out a little bit ago, it was just a little tiny wire. Well, we haven't been open for 2 weeks, but I think all that's coming to a head. I think that's a last ditch throw the everything but the kitchen sink at me before we receive a blessing, because I think this is going to be a blessed year in many ways. It just depends on where you're at with the blessing. Back to you.
Absolutely. And in fact, Pastor Dan, you probably may not see it this way all the time, but those trials that you're coming in contact with are really doing something very beautiful inside. It's called patience, huh? And, of course, as we face this time ahead of us, we know that Yeshua said it's in your patience you will possess your soul. So you're just getting going through some training there to help prepare you for this time to come. So count it a joy, brother.
Well, amen. We do believe the greater the trial that you go through, the greater the blessing is on the other side. As far as that word patience, we try not to use it too much because I don't know if people know, but if you pray for patience, you're going to get tribulation.
That's ultimately what's going to happen. Yeah. Well, we're all going through it, brother, in some form or fashion. And like I say, I got to have a God perspective when it comes to trials, because we get feeling sorry for ourselves if we don't.
Oh, amen. And I'm not down about it a bit, you know.
Right, I understand.
I have no, you know. When it comes, I'm used to tribulation. We walk in it with the work that we do, brother. I walk in tribulation every day almost, because the devil throws everything at us, because he doesn't. We spend a lot of time to get some of these people down to where they're at and to cause disasters, and then let alone to warn the world of what's going on. And so we know we provoke the devil, so bring it on, devil. That's all I got to say. Bring it on, because I have faith to believe that I will get through it. My father allowed it for it to happen for a reason, and so I'm just praising him during it. Back to you, and hey, maybe we're going to get started, or I'm going to talk all the program.
Okay, brother. Well, the topic tonight that I chose was the coming Jerusalem invasion. And the reason why is there's a whole bunch going on that I can relate to the ancient scriptures that talk about this day that we're facing. And, you know, who could have predicted, brother, that since President Trump's declaration concerning Jerusalem as being the capital of Israel and his subsequent decision to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv, that the world would get so stirred up, and not only in the Middle East, but in various parts of the world, to the point of desperation, where they're scurrying around trying to come up with a solution to resolve the Jerusalem issue before all heck breaks loose, and it's already starting to take place as we speak. Anger is directed toward Israel, and it's reaching a boiling point, Pastor Dan. And why is this so profound? Well, to me, the scriptures clearly point to a coming invasion of Jerusalem and the final battle between good and evil to follow shortly thereafter. And so tonight, brother, I'd like to take a look at a couple of facets of this and lay a scriptural foundation first, and then get into the news to show you what I'm talking about.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so as you're aware of, brother, the prophecies specifically speak of Jerusalem and this location being front and center shortly before Yeshua's return. And from what I can ascertain, according to the ancient scriptures, Jerusalem is the greatest city on the earth, and this place will be the most important prophetic location on the face of this planet as well. This little tiny place, even as we speak, is in the world headlines. And actually, it's been in the headlines for quite a long time, but think of how profound this is. You know, New Jersey is the fifth smallest state in the United States, covering 7,800 square miles, and in comparison, the land currently controlled by the State of Israel, including the disputed territories, is not much larger. Israel in its pre-1967 borders was 8,019 square miles. And so you take the New Jersey and Israel and put them together, and they're about the same size. But, brother, have you ever heard New Jersey highlighted in the world news? Ever?
Not really, I don't think.
And as small as this little place is, it seems to be the buzzword in our current news, and I think we ought to be wide awake. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Yahweh himself is bringing all the attention of the world back to this great city. And why do I call it that? Well, Yeshua designated it as a city of the great king. King David called it the city of our God, on Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So when I talk about Jerusalem being a great city, it's acknowledged as that being that in the scriptures. And yes, the great king has a great city. But then one day, brother, it will be brought to desolation. And Yeshua spoke of an abomination there that will bring down desolation on it, much greater than the destruction of a temple that no one thought would ever happen in AD 70 when it was leveled to the ground. Well, why will this happen? Well, think about it. Lucifer has plans to sit there. Remember what the prophet Isaiah recorded in Isaiah 14? He said that he had a bad attitude. This evil angel had a bold-faced intent. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to ascend above the clouds of heaven, and I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. Ultimately, brother, the place where Yahweh has put his name forever, Lucifer one day wants to claim ownership to it. In fact, when Yeshua and Lucifer were together in the wilderness, he took him to that great place and claimed it as his own. So one day, he's going to show up there in some form or fashion, and the news is going to be bad news. So it's coming down to a showdown of ownership on the holy place. And the world acknowledges this place, Pastor Dan, as a holy city. The issue is, who does Jerusalem belong to? And in a few minutes, when we look at the evidence coming out of the news, you'll sure find out what's going on. Yahweh placed this little location over there on the Mount of Moriah, where he was built his temple, and where Abraham wound up sacrificing his son. A very important place, and he said, I'm going to put my name here forever. And he named it Jerusalem, most commonly referred to as a city of peace, yet it's constantly been a center of conflict and controversy for thousands of years. In fact, during its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. And here, in the near future, brother, the eyes of the world will be brought back again to this arena, and at a time just before Yeshua returns, there is a prophecy that speaks about this day in the prophet Zechariah's writings, and I'd like to read that. Found in Zechariah 12 in verse 2. The prophet exclaims, Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Jerusalem and Judah. This prophetic scenario places Jerusalem as the invasion and contention for all the countries that surround it. Eventually, something's going down in this place will not only bring attention from the local countries, but then the prophecy then adds, it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples, and all who lift it will be severely injured, and listen, all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. That's in the third verse of Zechariah 12. And in this day, all of the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. And never has there ever been a time in the records of history that I know of where Jerusalem has gathered the attention of the entire world against it. Can you think of a time, Pastor Dan, when this has happened?
Not the entire world. Maybe the entire known world a long time ago, so to speak, but not the entire world.
Back okay.
To you.
So I do believe that this has a, in fact, we'll see here in a minute, that there will be a future fulfillment, not just the one that happened in AD 70. So right. What's going over there will grab so much attention and adversity against it. The same prophet in the 14th chapter of the same book of Zechariah, in verse 1, says, Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And then Yeshua also prophesied that this would happen on several places in the New Testament. It's recorded. Yeshua ties Jerusalem into the limelight of prophetic action revolving around end-time circumstances. So, as Yeshua had talked about the signs of his soon return, he talked about the gospel going around the world and the end would come, and then he connects the situation of the abomination of desolation that he pointed to the prophet Daniel and said that this situation would entail something happening in the holy place. And whoever reads, let him understand. And then he gives a sense of urgency about those who are in Judea fleeing to the mountains. Well, any of those people listening to Jesus' prophetic declaration would have known where the holy place was there. And oh, by the way, it's not Rome, and it's not Mecca, it's not Medina, it's not Tibet, or for that matter, any other so-called spiritual capital. But there's one more very important point here that I'd like to point out, and it's vital to note that the desolation on this holy place is tied into a great tribulation such as never been witnessed, and there will never again be anything like this ever again. And so obviously, Pastor Dan, this could not have been fulfilled fully in a second destruction as Titus brought the Roman armies around Jerusalem and laid it to the ground. 1,100,000 died in that earlier invasion. But please note, since that event happened over 1,900 years ago, there have been much larger tribulations and troubles on the earth. And I would venture to say, Holocaust was a much greater tragedy than the AD 70 besiegement. But there were much larger troubles worldwide in scope that have taken place since then. Take, for example, World War I. 15 million perished in that worldwide conflict. And then World War II, 40 million. And even at that same time, in a two-year period, 50 million died of the Spanish flu. So we can recognize, just simply by looking at history, that as Yeshua tied this abomination of desolation and this besiegement of Jerusalem taking place, it had to have something to do with a greater time than what was happening in history. And then he says this in another recording from Luke in chapter 21, verse 20 and 21. He proclaims, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her." Now notice, in this significant event, there's a time place in it. And he says this, "For these are the days of vengeance when all things will be fulfilled." So according to this statement, Jerusalem one day will be surrounded by armies that include the entire world, and this will happen at the day of vengeance when all things will be fulfilled. This event will usher in the Battle of Armageddon, and that has not been fulfilled yet, and the remaining last day prophecies that haven't been fulfilled. So, obviously, because Armageddon hasn't happened yet, so this prophecy and the remaining ones to be fulfilled will directly relate to this invasion on Jerusalem. And so guess what? Now, Jerusalem is rebuilt. It's back in the news again, and as you'll discover here pretty quick, something much larger is looming on the horizon. He also said this, Pastor Dan, "For there will be great distress in land and wrath upon this people." It's in this context of the armies encompassing Jerusalem that we find that there's going to be a great distress and trouble. And it's not a pretty picture here. And then he adds this along with the additional information we've already received. He says this, "They will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." So according to Yeshua, brother, Jerusalem will be trampled on by the nations, and not only did he predict the attack on Jerusalem, but he issued a set time of trouble allotted toward the city. And he said it would be the time of the Gentiles. And I know there are a lot of ideas on what the time of the Gentiles mean, but I believe the book of Revelation clearly foretells this very event and puts a time frame on how long the Gentiles will trample down the holy city. And I'm heading over to Revelation 7 for an answer. I'm sorry, Revelation 11 for an answer here. It's here where we discover the time allowed for the nations to trample Jerusalem. And it's John Brahmas and raptured in vision, he was told to measure a temple, and the concept of measurement alludes to judgment. And contextually, this relates to the holy place and those who regard it as worshipers there. And John has given instruction, leaving the measuring alone outside this holy place. And please remember, anyone living in that time would have known the place as being Jerusalem. So then we find him saying this to John in the book of Revelation. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But listen, leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. This is what Yeshua is talking about, and we find over in the book of Revelation the time that the Gentiles is being allotted to tread underfoot, almost verbatim what Yeshua said, 42 months. And we all understand, us who know prophecy well enough, know that this 42-month period is yet a future event. What do you say to that, brother?
Absolutely. You're going right along it just as you should. Yeah, I know the prophecy well. You're doing very good. I agree with you.
Thank you, brother. Okay, so this will take place for a period of 3.5 years. And he talks about an army surrounding Jerusalem, a besiegement, a great desolation coming when this takes place, and that all things will be fulfilled once this invasion commences. And why at this place? And I think that there's a reason for this coming back to that little piece of property, because that's where it started. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will bring the whole world's attention back to this small little place, because that's where it all began. Up on the mountain of Moriah, where Abraham lifted his knife to sacrifice his son, it was at that place where God built his house, there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, on the mountain of Moriah, and shortly, pretty soon, we're going to find that all the world headlines are going to be pointing directly to that place, and that's going to give us an opportunity, those who understand the prophecy of the Bible, be able to give light to those who are looking for answers. And if we know the word well enough, we'll be able to point them to Yeshua, the one who stood in the temple saying, I am the light of the world. And, brother, it's coming.
Amen. And you sewed that up pretty good, because we got just a little bit before break. So tell them where they can find all your wonderful things.
Yeah, it's shortwordprophecy.org. I just filmed the Ram and Goat video, and it should be up on the online probably next week or so. So you want to keep an eye on that, okay? It's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that program is still it's still very pop. It's one of my most popular programs, you know, recent programs, and it's getting picked up a lot. So there's a lot of people listening to that, and there was a part one to two. So anyway, go check out the video, folks, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And hey, we're we're back. I just started to repeat myself. I don't know why. I guess I'm that kind of guy. Well, anyway, you know, folks, right now in the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says that the flu is out there in all 50 states. Just listen to me. You can sure tell it's been in Wichita, right? Actually, I'm on the healing up end of the part thing, but you know, what helped me get through it is, you know, I had access to aspirin and, you know, cough medicine and, you know, other things, things that you get over the counter. Well, this epidemic is in 50 states, and, I mean, it's out there. In fact, the Wichita hospitals are full. Yeah, that's right, full. They're actually turning people, taking people because they don't have any beds. They're having to send them to other hospitals in other cities and transporting them there. That's how bad the epidemic is in Wichita. Now, they've even set it cut off. You can't get in the hospital unless you're a patient. They've cut off all visitation and visitors because of this epidemic. So where does that, why do I bring up all that? Well, you know what? I had access to cold medications and things, and it was still really, really tough, and it is. But what if you don't have the money for those things? I don't know of a ministry in Wichita, there may be one, but I don't know of it, that gives out over-the-counter medications, or will just freely, if you say, hey, I need some aspirin, we'll give them aspirin or ibuprofen, cough syrup, cold meds, so on and so forth, and without a big hassle. Well, we do that. The Wichita Mission Church does that. But because things have been so messed up, like not being open for because the heat's been down, but we have it fixed, come to find out all our anxiety and problems about the heater at the Wichita Mission Church. Several service guys, finally we find out it was a bad wire on the thermostat up on the roof. But the point is for the last couple of weeks, because, you know, being down off radio also hurt us really bad. Well, but we need help. We need to be able to get out there and get some medications. If you're in Wichita, you live there and you're listening to me on radio, hey, go by the Dollar Tree, pick up some cold cough medicines and things like that, bring them in to us so we can give them out. We also need blankets and gloves and things like this if we're really at a bad place for the people out there. So, folks, pray about doing that. You folks that are listening to me, pray about a donation. We do need your support. Like I say, we haven't been open, and we haven't. Radio's been messed up since, you know, like the week before the new year. So pray about support. We really do need your help. So pray about it. All in all, judging from what I saw before all this thing hit us, our donations were starting to go up. I know people, one person that noted that normally donates $25 a week is now donating $50 a week. A person that normally sends in a $70 donation a month has been sending the last couple of times $100. I believe that our donations are going to go up this year. We're going to do better this year. But we need your help right now. Help us so we can help the people that the Father sends us. You know, we, and folks, remember, we're all responsible to care one for another. Really, we are our brother's keepers. We're put in the hands of each other. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? From the heart, folks, from the heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free and donations is what keeps us on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking with Steve Henderson about one of the biggest Bible prophecies that stretches to mean the whole word is called the coming invasion of Jerusalem. Are you there with us, Steve?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. And I just also like to appeal to your listeners to give to such a great cause. You're doing such a great work, brother. You keep up the good work.
I don't see how I couldn't, but yeah, amen.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you got the love of God in, that brings you to some pretty great places and opportunities to serve, because there's no greater person on the earth than to be a servant. That's what Yeshua said. So, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay, well, let's get back into the rest of part of the program. I'd like to share with you, brother, the evidences in the world news that we're indeed rapidly heading toward a prophetic mile marker here in 2018. I believe that we could see some significant changes this year. I don't set dates and times. I have no business with that, but I will say this, that we are close to seeing something explode over there, in that little tiny spot. And you're going to find out here in just some of the news I'll be sharing with you. It's very evident something's brewing up here. So remember, as we shared and started the program, is Donald Trump. I've been kind of wondering how in the world all this is going to fit together, and what kind of situations would take place to actually catalyze it to the point where the whole world is getting involved and fine tuning and getting out their swords and their war drums and which is actually happening right now on the face of this planet. You know, when he made that declaration that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, I didn't really realize what kind of a frenzy that would have, what kind of a freak out thing would happen. But he had been warned about it, and rightfully so, I guess. But when the declaration went out, if you watched the news, you saw people all over the world out in the streets demonstrating. There were marches that took place, and I mean, over there in Ramallah and Bethlehem, where they were facing off with the Israeli soldiers. There was a 57-member organization of Islamic cooperation that did an emergency hearing in Istanbul, led by Erdogan, the president there. There were demonstrations in Mumbai, Indian city Mumbai, the Malaysian capital of Kuala Lumpur, the Japanese capital of Tokyo, and images all over the world were showing people out in the streets simply because of a declaration that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, the eternal capital, which we all recognize is, but there is something very, very sinister with what's taking place in opposition for all this. Even in Sweden, they were up there in Sweden. In fact, there's quite a Muslim population up there at the moment. They were out there talking about, we are sending millions of shahads marching toward martyrdom toward Jerusalem. And so there's some things coming that we need to be aware of, and this is what I'm going to share with you now. Several days after this Jerusalem declaration, even a special session was held at the United Nations with the purpose of contesting and condemning the fallacy, so to speak, that Jerusalem was Israel's capital. Now, can you imagine them actually trying to say that Israel has no part of Jerusalem? Well, that's what they've been doing for quite a long time. But in this meeting with the United Nations, the motion condemned the U.S. recognition of the Holy City as Israel's capital, and it passed 128-9 with 35 abstaining and 21 no-shows. And this, even though it was a non-binding resolution, simply put, the UN is a policy-making entity, and it's not an enforcement police yet. But I really believe that this United Nations is going to have a significant place, and that it seems like the world is turning more and more to leadership coming out of the United Nations. But here in this declaration, they just overwhelmingly shut down the United States and said this is no way that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel here. But, you know, as these war drums beat, there are news articles all over this world that are saying they're talking about war. And here's one of them just a couple days ago. It says, Hamas, U.S. decision on Jerusalem is a war declaration. And the leader of Hamas got up and said, the U.S. decision is an aggression, a declaration of war on us, and the best Muslim and Christian shrines in the heart of Palestine, Jerusalem, are there. We should work on launching an intifada in the face of the Zionist enemy. And Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem, is ours, he said. Continuing, he said, we are here today at a critical point in the history of the Palestinian issue, and the core of the issue is Jerusalem, a critical point in the history of the Arab and Muslim nations following this provocative decision. They are looking at this as a serious insult to the Islamic and Arab world, because we know that the issue has been for decades, the issue about getting the Palestinians and Israel together to formulate a two-state solution, because everyone seems to strangely point to this issue as when this is resolved, then we can have world peace. But after, kind of alluding to that Islamic conference that was put together by President Erdogan, they hosted Muslim leaders for an emergency summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation on Jerusalem. And Erdogan praised the summit's decision, which recognized the Palestinian state and Palestine as being the capital being Jerusalem. So everyone is now coming to front and center saying, no, that is Israel's capital is not Jerusalem, that is a Palestinian's capital. And so it's a major sore point with the Islamic nations and the Arab world, and now they are getting together in conferences, and we're going to take a look at a couple more here in a minute. And these have all been held since the 6th of December, and news from all over the world. Here's one from China 2 days ago, and it says that Lebanon urges Islamic countries to relocate embassies to Jerusalem. And out of the newspaper, it says, I urge all Islamic countries to relocate their embassies to the holy city of Al-Quds, Jerusalem, and boycott Israeli goods. I insist that we as Arab and Muslim nations should take retrospective measure against such a shameful decision. The U.S. plan to relocate its embassy has caused a great challenge for us and is a decision contradicting all conventions of the United Nations. And how about this headline 2 days ago from the Times of Israel? It says, Erdogan to meet Pope for talks said to focus on Jerusalem. Not only did Erdogan get together these Islamic leaders in a conference, now he's heading over to talk to the Pope. And man, they're getting really serious here about trying to get some type of solution, because the more this goes on, the more this festers, and at some point in time, something's going to explode over there. Another headline 2 days ago from the Egypt Today, the headline says, Jerusalem cornered between European and Arab pressure. Now remember, brother, on the first part of the program, we recognize that Jerusalem will become a focal point of the world. And here in these articles, you're going to find that headlines from all over the world are coming out and talking about Jerusalem and about its concern about the Palestinian-Israeli settlements and the issue of putting Palestine in a state of its own. And now Abbas has just said, we are not recognizing Israel. Of course, they haven't anyway, but they have made it official that Israel's no longer being recognized by the Palestinians and so on and so on. But the PLO Council decided on Monday to suspend the recognition of the State of Israel until it officially recognizes the Palestinian state and ushers in a part of Jerusalem as its capital. So that's a hard call there, because Israel says this has been our eternal capital for 3,000 years, and we will not relinquish this authority over Jerusalem. It's ours. It's never been Palestinian. And of course, we understand by the ancient scriptures what kind of a heritage Israel has toward it. So the executive committee of the PLO was assigned to revoke recognition until it recognizes the state of Palestine on the pre-1967 borders and reverse the decisions to annex East Jerusalem and expand settlements. And so in this these conferences, they're getting together. 86 Arab and international delegations have taken place in the last 2 days, brother, in a conference called the World Conference in Support of Jerusalem. And witnesses from the participation of prominent national, regional, and international figures have been invited. And I have been looking for some news articles coming out of there, because it's just started yesterday and ended today. And I found a couple I'd like to share with you, because I've been really interested on what their resolution is on this conference, World Conference in Support of Jerusalem. And here we find the article coming out of the United Arab Emirate Khalid Times. It says, Conference in Support of Jerusalem begins today. And then it reports, Al-Azhar is holding a two-day international conference for backing Jerusalem as a proposed capital of Palestine. The World Conference in Support of Jerusalem will be held in collaboration with the Muslim Council of Elders, and Al-Azhar has invited scholars, politicians, Islamic and Christian leaders, and regional and international organizations concerned with the Jerusalem case. The conference will discuss several working papers on three main points under its theme, the Arabian identity of Jerusalem and its message. You see what's going on here? They are wrestling with the idea of what they're going to do with this idea that the capital of Israel is Jerusalem, and they are going to go in and they're going to claim ownership of it. And according to the prophecies, one day the Gentiles or the nations are going to go up against Jerusalem, and for 3.5 years there's going to be some trouble brewing. And I see it taking place so clearly, brother. I just hope some other people do too. What do you think?
Well, you know, let's go with this. I think you're 100% spot on. In fact, when the so-called Arab Spring started, that's when I was put on my heart to start using the shofar on the show. But since then, we've been watching the rearrangement of the whole Middle East to do one thing, and one thing, and the rest of the world to do the one thing that you're talking about, and that is invade Jerusalem. And, you know, President Trump, while, yes, he recognized the capital, it's great, and he seems to be on Jerusalem's side, amen, but these may be the very things that's needed to provoke them into finally come out of complicity and come against Jerusalem. Back to you.
Yeah, we recognize if it says all nations, and that may include this big country that we live in, too. And at some point in time, we'd have to get involved with this situation. But I think out of self-preservation, in any little country that's surrounded by a bunch of Islamic psychopaths is going to, out of self-preservation, pull out their big guns at some point in time. And when they do, I believe that, according to the prophet Isaiah, there is going to come a time when Damascus is going to be laid to the ground. And I don't know if you've been listening to this, but Israel has been going over there around that area and bombing because Iran's over there trying to plant themselves. And they see these weapons transfers and everything. There is much more that's going on that we hear about in the news, brother. And it's building. And like I say, it's almost at the boiling point. Just out of the Jerusalem Post in yesterday's news, this is yesterday, coming out of this world conference, of the World Conference in Support of Jerusalem, Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, speaking at this conference, billed as the World Conference in Support of Jerusalem, said Jerusalem is at the gate of peace and at the gate of war, and now Trump must choose. He actually called the president's decision on Jerusalem an actual sin. Abbas also accused the U.S. of choosing to violate international law and resolutions and bilateral agreements and changing the desire of Arab, Islamic, and world's peoples. Yes, according to prophecies, eventually the whole world will get in on this. Here's an excerpt that came from the conference, and here is something, this is where it's at, brother. I've been kind of trying to tell people this. But here's another group that came and showed up at the World Conference in support of Jerusalem, and it was called the World Council of Churches, and here's the headlines. Uh-oh. Future of Jerusalem must be shared one way, and it says that must be shared one way, says the World Council of Churches. The world's religious leaders are stepping in here. And here's what the article says. The head of the World Council addressed the status of Jerusalem at the International World Conference on January 17th in the Egyptian capital. And the featured speaker, which is the head of the World Council of Churches, said, "It cannot be the exclusive possession of one faith over against the others, or of one people against the other. Jerusalem is and must continue to be a city of three religions and two peoples. Jerusalem is regarded as a holy city and loved, genuinely and deeply loved, by all three Abrahamic faiths, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. That love and profound attachment must be respected and affirmed in any solution that might be envisaged if it were to be visible. As believers in one Almighty God, we should explore together what it means to express the love of God in this conflict in which three monotheistic religions, and their communities are involved and affected. And he concludes this, there will be no peace in Jerusalem unless all three religions are respected and involved in the solution. Let us together be contributors to a just peace, not to a perpetual conflict. Brother, the religious leaders are stepping in, and I've been saying this for a while, that the world is turning to the religious leaders to help out and help resolve this, and this is going to give an opportunity for the spiritual leaders of the world to collaborate with the actual heads of state to formulate a solution for Jerusalem and slip in some guy there is going to say, hey, you know, I got the solution. And at some point in time, when he stands in a holy place, then all heck is going to break loose, brother.
Yeah, it is coming to a head. It's getting further and further ahead. I just don't know. You know, I'm not the father. He only knows when all this will actually come.
Absolutely.
But it is time for warning, and it could. Having said that, not knowing doesn't mean that it could come. It could come next week, so to speak. I think more things have to happen. Or it could come in a couple of years. But I think we're in a real short window back to you.
Absolutely. I think it's important to be informed, regardless of time, and I'm sure not setting it. You know, all I'm trying to do is convey to your group today that this is on board for some type of that the war drums are beating. The people are in rank and file together against Israel and against Jerusalem. And there's some other players in here that I haven't mentioned. One of the main major players is Iran, and I think I spoke a little bit of that last time we spoke. But they have actually formulated a video that actually showed an invasion of Jerusalem long before this thing came down, and they are championed as the ones who are going to deliver Palestinians back to their rightful place and eliminate Israel. And they've been calling the destruction of Israel, and they're a major player in this, and I haven't got a chance to mention them because I know I'm running out of time. But it is very, very clearly a very awesome time that we're living in, because when we see these things come, then we should be looking up and lifting up our heads, because we know that our redemption is drawing near. And one day, brother, this old Jerusalem that's old and waxed old and full of all kinds of various peoples and ideas and religions, one day there's going to be a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven from God. And it will replace the one who's in bondage with their children, and as Paul declared that back in the book of Galatians, and a new one, the heavenly Jerusalem, with an innumerable company of angels, will accompany this new Jerusalem, and one day we'll be in that city, streets of gold, gates of pearl, and where the Lamb and God will be sitting in it, and where the tree of life will be, with 12 manners of fruit. And I just can't, eye has not seen or ears heard those things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And we just have to hold on just a little bit longer, brother, and keep our heads up and know that as we go through trials and tribulations, we're being built up for this time, because there is going to be a coming storm, and it's going to be relentless. But on the backside of the storm, we're going home, brother.
Yeah, amen. I agree with you. And that's what you said there at the last. That's what it's all about. Can't wait to see New Jerusalem. I can't wait to see Yeshua. Because, you know, just like a baby, you know, a baby comes forth through pain. You know, you have a birth pain and it hurts and then it subsides. But they get closer and closer.
Yeah.
And the pain gets worse and worse until something wonderful happens. And that's
amen.
The birth.
Amen.
Yeah,
once
all
the baby
right.
is born, the pain's no longer remembered, brother.
Yeah, amen. Well, Steve, we'll talk again. I gotta boot you off here. I gotta get out of here. So you be blessed, brother.
Pastor Dan, love you, man. Take care.
All right, love you too. Bye bye. Well, folks, that's Steve Henderson. As I do with everybody, you need to get your Bible out and you need to search the scriptures for yourself. You need to prove all things. I'm not saying Steve's wrong. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm not saying anybody's wrong nor right. But you need to search all things. You need to make this the year that you get into your word and get into prophecy. Anyway, I'll take my voice out of here. Just pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We do really, really do need your help. pray about it. And I believe that we will build in a good year, but the people and men of God and women of God, you need to stand up and be counted. Make your voice heard. You've been silent too long. That's what's wrong with this country. The body of Messiah has been silent too long. Stand up and be counted. But we must remember, there is only one God. Who is He? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. And He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, what? What am I always telling you to remember? Remember to be a blessing to others. Always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and that His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.